Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM. Joe and Evan on The Fan. Joe and Evan on WFAN.
All right, 10:04 on The Fan, and a very good Tuesday morning to you, the midday show. Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number here. Of course, the 1 o'clock CMB will come your way. Dove Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. We're live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses, you know where. Only at ShopRite. Where do you want to go, bro? You want to start with the football? You want to start with the baseball? Where do you want to go here right now?
Boy, there's so many options. I love this time of year.
This is the greatest time of year.
I think we should clearly open with Kevin Durant's interview in the Wall Street Journal. You want to go there?
No. Yeah, no,
okay.
I missed it.
I'm just kidding.
Kevin Durant.
I read it. It was very exciting.
Look, I didn't notice Zion Williamson there last night in New Orleans.
Yeah, well, he's Mr. New Orleans.
Of course,
Mr. New Orleans.
By the way, can I complain about this before we even get going?
Complain about what?
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to complain
go.
About. They are so now in the NFL glorifying the officials. I can't stand it. I mean,
Fans were last night.
Well, no. I understand. I understand what the fans were doing. But before the game, they had who's the guy they got now? Now the latest official that decides I don't want to be an official anymore because they pay me more money to state the obvious in the booth with these dumb rules things they got. What's his name? John Parry? Is that his name? I mean, they are now making the – I keep saying this. In the NFL today, you got to beat the other team and the officials.
You know what they're doing?
And they are now making the officials. What are you going to do, start selling official, referee merchandise?
Well, they could have.
Is that happening
night.
Anytime?
Last night
in
New Orleans.
Really?
And I know the crowd was doing it for a mocking purpose.
We know why, sure.
But half the crowd dressed up as officials and they're throwing fake
and
flags.
And the one guy had the big whistle on the top of
his head. Yes. And the Saints got hosed again by something that needs to change, and that's the 10-second runoff after they review a play, which we saw towards the end of the first half. The Saints had the option to burn a timeout, which they decided not to do, and instead took the 10-second runoff, and then Lutz missed the field goal, a very long one at the end of the first half. That's an archaic rule. They didn't get hosed necessarily.
It's terrible. It's an archaic rule.
It's just something they have to fix. But you know why John Parry and Dean Blandino these guys are there?
It's painful.
I don't think it's that they're glorifying the officials. I think they're confirming something you've said for a long time. You've said the rules of the NFL are too complicated.
And there's too many of them.
And I think because of that, they feel it's a necessity to have somebody in the booth to explain it to all us minions.
You think maybe that the explanation should be maybe we should pare down all these dumb rules instead of having all these guys do this? Because I tell you right now, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. And then when there's a replay, it's an obvious call. I mean, you and I wouldn't know exactly what the deal is, and I need this guy to tell me that? I mean, it makes me crazy.
Well, I think that's when they're justifying their job. I think there are times where they're useful because there are weird rules in the NFL that these guys can at least tell us why they exist. But I think sometimes when there's an obvious replay, we don't need an official to tell us
what we
just saw,
right?
Which is exactly the case. I'll tell you, this was a fun night last night. That was good football. Especially the end of that Texan-Saint game.
Oh, what an ending to the game.
You had all the craziness.
Yep.
I mean, the Texan defense in the final 35 seconds basically handed it to Drew Brees
and
the Saint offense.
Plus, you know the guy. You got a guy in Lutz. I know he missed a long one in the first half, but with the game on the line, you know this guy can kick a 60-yard field goal.
No question.
Especially in the dome.
You can't
make it
that easy for Drew Brees.
It was too easy.
They made it way too easy.
Yep.
And I think what would have been the big story but turned out not to, was the extra point that was missed.
No doubt about
but
it.
But then a penalty was called,
and
which was legit.
Clearly, he did run into him.
Yeah,
and there's no doubt he definitely did.
And it was a stupid penalty because it was after he had already missed the kick, basically, Fairbear.
And here we're looking at it now. No doubt about it.
And I think the other story from this game, A, Deshaun Watson is awesome.
He is.
But B, he takes way too many sacks. And I don't think we could pin it all on the new left tackle, Laramie Tunsil, on the offensive line. A lot of it should be, but I think a lot of it is on Deshaun Watson.
Well, the other thing, too, I mean, when that touchdown run he had in the first quarter where he's hurtling into the end zone and then he got hurt, and he was fortunate that it wasn't any kind of major injury. If I'm Bill O'Brien, I got to take the kid and say, hey, bro, you're my franchise quarterback. You can't be jumping over defenders. You know, step out of bounds, and we'll score somehow from the three-yard line. I mean, that's what I would say to him.
You got to pick your spots.
You absolutely do.
Because I think you saw it with the way the Texans came back and took that lead.
Yep.
He is incredible.
Bro, I love this guy in college. I mean, I feel about Watson.
You always loved him. And if he can stay healthy, I think that's the question, if there is one.
Oh, it took him two plays to go how many yards to to take the lead. Oh. I mean, it was bing, bing. Touchdown.
Right? Amazing.
Bing, bing.
My favorite part of the game, though, is DeAndre Hopkins, who may be the best wide receiver in the league.
Is.
After the interception, putting a Brock Lesnar-esque suitplex on the defender. Oh, it was incredible.
Is that what you call that? A Brock Lesnar suitplex?
I mean, it was a suplex, yeah. All he took him to Suplex City. It was crazy. Obviously got penalized for it. You can't do that. But I'll tell you this, on a Monday night especially, it was perfect to watch. And I did stay up a little bit.
Did you watch the Raider game?
A little bit of the Raider-Bronco game, enough to see that Deshaun Hamilton dropped the easiest touchdown reception you'll ever see that would have made it a 14-10 Raider lead. So the Broncos are about to cut it to 14-10. Hamilton just flat out drops it in the end zone. They have to settle for a field goal, and that felt like the game. That felt like the moment.
How'd Flacco? I didn't watch the Raider game. How'd Flacco play? Did he look good last night?
He was shaky. Derek Carr looked great.
Yeah, no, he had a big 22 out of 26 last night.
Yeah, he looked great. He looked fantastic. That's the best Derek Carr's look since he was almost an MVP award winner a couple of years ago.
The year he got hurt, and they wound up getting killed in a playoff game.
You know, we forget about that, and I wonder with Derek Carr, that season, and maybe this is a good similarity, good comparison, maybe it's not, you tell me. I think about Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer was off to a pretty good start in his career, and then drove on all off. And
in the playoffs against
injures,
the Steelers.
Yeah, injures him in the playoffs.
Yep.
And while he put together a nice career after that, he was never the same.
Never the same.
Guy. Never the same.
100% right.
And since Derek Carr suffered that injury a couple of years ago that basically ended any hopes the Raiders had of making a deep playoff run that year, Carr just hasn't been the same. He hasn't been nearly the MVP player. And at least for 1 week, got a long way to go, but at least for 1 week, he was reminiscent of that MVP player. Now so who knows?
Yeah, he had a big game last night. There's no doubt. The kid running back played pretty well too, right? Jacobs, not bad, right?
Yeah, not bad.
From Alabama.
Now the Raiders look good. They were a team. We talked about this yesterday. I just didn't know what to expect from them.
Yeah.
I still don't, but hey, good for them.
Well, how good is Denver? We don't know. Next week, we'll find out more about them next week because I think they're home, but they're playing the Chiefs next week at home. So
yeah, a little bit of a challenge.
A little bit more.
Yeah, when you're home and you're laying 9, which is the number I saw, and I bet you that number
you
comes
getting
down.
Getting 9.
Getting 9, I apologize.
Yeah, right.
They are getting 9 in their own building against the Chiefs. I bet you the number comes down a little bit because they won week one.
Probably.
But one number that's not going to come down is that Patriot line in Miami.
God. 18, I think it is.
Yeah, it has a chance to be.
Is he playing this week, Antonio Brown? Do we know?
I think I think so.
Right?
Why not?
Right.
No, I understand not playing week one,
but
at this point, why not?
Yeah.
And that has a chance to be the highest road spread we've ever seen, or at least we've seen in the last 30 years. The last road spread that approached this was actually the Patriots as well back in 2007 against the Ravens. And I think that was a Sunday night game or a Monday night game.
Well, that was the game.
And it was a close
game. Almost lost that game.
Yeah, they almost lost
that. That was the almost undefeated season, too.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, they almost lost that game. I remember that game well.
They were favored by 19 in that game. And I was in Vegas for whatever reason that weekend, and I laid the points. And it was not dramatic because they didn't even come close.
In fact, if I remember correctly, that game, there was a big call in that game, penalty call, that was controversial that helped win the game for the Patriots.
Yeah, I think so.
If I remember correctly.
It was a very close game they very easily could have lost.
Right, right.
I thought the other big thing from last night was James Paxton, man, is rolling.
Oh, how about him?
And
was it 8 in a row for him now?
Yeah, it's 8 starts in a row in which he has looked like the dominant pitcher Brian Cashman was dreaming of when they traded for him during the offseason. And, you know, we've said about James Paxton, he's obviously getting a postseason start. You know, you don't know what to expect come October.
Right.
It's going to be his first foray in a playoff action. But right now, I think your confidence level in him has to grow and grow. And one thing that I think is important with him is that he is pitching well on the road, too. And because Domingo Germán has extreme home road splits, I think James Paxton probably makes the most sense for game three because I think he's starting to give you confidence that he can pitch anywhere.
Right,
so even
right.
if it's on the road in a game three environment, I think the way he's pitched over the last seven and eight starts, or nine start, whatever that number is, it's been a while now. I mean, it's been well over a month and a half. I think he's a guy you look at to start on the road in game three. What's intriguing to me, and I'm trying to figure out why, is Domingo Germán is going to come out of the bullpen tomorrow and follow CC Sabathia. Now, this could be one for one of two reasons. One reason could be that's the Yankees' plan, that they want to use Domingo Germán as the second pitcher in a playoff game. I happen to think that's an awful idea. I think Domingo Germán deserves to start a playoff game,
right.
not be the second guy.
No, of course.
Here's my other theory. I'm not sure about this, but you tell me. They want to limit his innings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously he's thrown more innings this year than he ever has. He also has a lot of wins.
Right.
And even though most people don't care about wins, Domingo
has
a lot of wins.
They want to get him 20?
I think they want to get him wins while also limiting his innings. And if he comes in second,
yeah,
he can,
that could be.
He could pitch two innings and get a win.
Yeah, that's true.
While if you start the game, obviously.
What was he got, 17 now?
I think he's at 17 now, yeah. So I don't know if that's an out there theory that I'm thinking about it too much. Because to me, the idea that Domingo Germán isn't simply starting a playoff game, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
Why would you get cute, as you would say, and say, oh, you know what, he's going to follow Jay Happ, or he's going to follow CC Sabathia, or even Luis Severino, who still hasn't pitched in a major league game. It looks like we'll see him next week. Domingo Germán deserves to start game two of the American League Divisional Series, mainly because it's at Yankee Stadium,
where he's
had great success.
He absolutely should.
So I don't know if the win theory is true. I'm just trying to think through why.
Well, how many starts does he have left? What do you got, like 19, 20 games left in Yankees? Something like that.
Depending on how many days they want to do it, I think he could have four starts left, if my math is correct.
All right, well.
And he's already at 136 and two-thirds innings, and he has 17 wins. So if he follows Sabathia, I mean, think about it. If CC comes in and pitches three innings, and the Yankees have a 2-0 lead, or 2-1 lead, and Germán comes in, Germán could pitch three, four innings and qualify for a win. So I don't know if I'm overthinking it, or they're realistically going to have Domingo Germán follow a pitcher in the playoffs.
Maybe.
I don't like that
idea. An opener?
I don't like that with
him. Yeah, look, I mean, I don't know. I can't give you the answer why. Maybe you're right. Maybe you are trying to get him 20. A cheap 20.
I mean, because that would be a little bit of a cheap 20.
It would be a little cheap, yeah.
And that's nice, at least for him, that you're trying to get him victories while limiting his innings.
Right.
And I don't think the Yankees would ever admit that. I don't think they would come out and say, well, we're limiting his innings, but we want to try to get him victories while we're at it. I just don't like the idea of Germán coming out of the bullpen in the postseason. He has pitched well enough over the course of this season to start in the playoffs. And the reason I say game two as opposed to game three is that he's been much better at Yankee Stadium. So to me, Tanaka game one, Germán game two, Paxton game three, and then the whole kitchen sink in game four, which could feature Luis Severino, who probably will return to a major league mound in about a week. And next week, that homestand could be the return week for the Yankees because Giancarlo Stanton may be back.
Well, they're banged up in the outfield right now. Tauchman looks like he's out for the year.
He is out for the year unless they brought him back in the World Series, which I doubt.
Right.
And that's why these things take care of itself. For those who wondered, what do you do with Giancarlo Stanton? Well, it may take care of itself.
It may be start too.
Yeah, you've got guys banged up in that outfield, and if Stanton comes back.
And Hicks, I don't think, is coming back either. Doesn't look good for him.
No way. I think Gardner's your center fielder.
Yep.
So it makes sense that if Stanton can come back and show you a pulse, even though he's only played nine games this year, which is amazing to think about, then it fits. Then Giancarlo Stanton's in your lineup.
Yep.
It comes down to that.
Yes, indeed.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.